Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Water by God podcast. Okay, Water by God podcast. Okay, Water by God. Yeah, podcast. I am your host, Alicia Arnold, y'all. Y'all, we feel good today. I realized that every time I was getting on for this podcast, I have failed to say my name and to say who I am. So I apologize, y'all. So let me go back. I said it just now, but let me go back and start doing that, you know, so people know. Because I know people probably don't even know how to pronounce my name. But anyway, that's not even important because I am whoever God says that I am. I'm Alicia Arnold, but you could call me whatever you want to call me in the mighty name of Jesus. Y'all, we have so much to talk about today. We have so much to get into. I'm so glad that you all joined me on today, that you joined us, our family of Water by God podcast. Amen, amen. God has so much in store, not only today, but forevermore, y'all. So today we're going to be talking about idols. So the title, I guess, would just be idols. What do you idol? What is your idol? Who is your idol? Amen. So, we're going to go ahead and go forth in prayer. I'm not going to keep you all too long, with the pre-message, which is right now, because we got y'all, it's so much. Like I had to literally write. I have notes, but I had to rewrite my notes out so that I could be organized in how we explain this. Cause you know, we going to buckle your seats, okay? Buckle your seatbelts. We got to ride, all right? So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to meet one more chance, God, one more time to get it right, God, one more time to seek your face, to turn from my wicked ways, God. We thank you, Lord God, for how far you've taken this podcast thus far, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you shall get the glory in this all, God, that you shall get the glory in the end, God. We ask that you forgive us, God, of everything that's not like you, God. Forgive whoever is watching this, God. May you guard their ears, guard their eyes, guard their hearts, God. May they not fall into the trap of sin, into the trap of the devil, God. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, God. But may your Holy Spirit, God, rest on this podcast. I invite you on this podcast. I invite you, God, into Watered by God podcast that you may have your way, God. This is your podcast. You may speak, God. Move me out the way, God, that you may get the victory, God, that your people may be saved, set free, and delivered, God, and even filled with the Holy Ghost, God. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit speaks like never before, God. Lord God, I pray, God, that whoever is on the other side of this screen, God, I bind every demonic stronghold that wants to keep them from listening, that wants to keep their heart from receiving, God. But may you empty out everything in us, God, that we may receive with open hearts, open mind, open arms, God. In the name of Jesus, nothing of ourselves, God, but we want you to completely have your way, God. Completely have your way, God. May whoever is listening, God, may they spread it, God, to their family members, spread it, God, to their friends, spread it to their loved ones, God, that everyone may understand, God, what we are idolizing, God, that is not like you, God. Move it out the way, God. Move it out the way, God. Whatever is in the way, we give you permission to move it out the way, God, and we thank you that you shall have your way on this podcast on today, God. We love you, we adore you, we admire you, we give you glory, honor, and praise, Father. And it's in Jesus' name that I do pray, that we do pray. Amen. So, y'all, like I said, we have a lot to discuss, and we're going to hop right on into it. So, we're talking about idols. What do you idol before God? So, first, we're going to discuss what is an idol. And an idol is anything that we put before the presence or before the glory of God. And, y'all, it can literally be anything, anything, anything that you put before the presence of God, anything that you find yourself saying, you know, God, I don't love this, but your actions show otherwise. Like anything that you say, God, I don't spend more time doing this, but your actions show otherwise, that can be an idol. So we're going to break that all down, y'all, because I know many people, and I also, like, growing up, I thought an idol was just basically money or houses, cars, you know, things like that. And even then we deny it. Like we don't break it down like we should. We deny, oh, that's us, but that's actually us. But, you know, it's even beyond that. It's beyond that, y'all. When God gave me this revelation of what all can be an idol, it actually, like, was sickening. It was like, wow, like, little do we know, we live in this world and we idolize so much. We idolize so much and we do not give God the glory that is due unto him, that is due unto his name, that he deserves. So, let's hop on into it. I'm going to start with the opening scripture, Leviticus 26:1. It says, don't make idols for yourselves or set up statues or memorials. Don't put stone statues in your land to bow down to, because I am the Lord your God. And so I just wanted to start off with this scripture because it's basically, you know, it's going to set the tone, set the mood, just to let you know how we're starting. Basically, do not make idols for yourselves. And many times we do that. We make idols for ourselves without even knowingly knowing that we have done that. Because what does it mean to make an idol for yourself? You place a person before God. You can go to somebody. You can go place a relationship or place a friendship before God for yourself without even knowing it or acknowledging the fact that you did it, because you didn't know that you did it. And so many times we can go to people and we can go to humans for advice, and we never went to God for advice. We can go to our parents every time something doesn't go right, or every time we don't understand something. And little do we know, God wants us. He knows everything. He created the earth. He created the world. He knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. So yes, you may not get the answer you want from God, but God, that is what he's there for. He wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways, not just some, not just one fourth, not just half, but in all of our ways. So every action, every step that we take, y'all, he wants us to acknowledge him, whether that's going through in a friendship, going through in a relationship, going through in finances, whatever that looks like for you, whatever is your idol. He wants us to move that out the way that he may get the glory. So that's going to be the opening scripture. But now we're going to move on to idolizing promises. And sometimes we can idolize the blessings that God gives us. We can idolize, you know, everything that God gives us instead of idolizing him himself. So the next scripture that I have for you all is Matthew 6, and we're going to go to verse 33. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So why did I put that on here? Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We always say that, being a Christian, we always quote that scripture. We always say it in church. We always say it to the sinner man. We always say it, but it's like, we really don't live by it. Why? Because if we realize just what exactly that means, but seek ye first the kingdom, first of all, that does not mean that you should be seeking God for just his blessings and just the answers. A lot of times we go to God because we idolize the blessing and not the blesser. We idolize going to God saying, God, I need your help. God, I need your finances. God, I need your answer to who I should be with. God, I need your answer to what I should do. But we don't idolize God for simply just being God. Like, I don't know, I talked about that on a previous podcast, but seek him even when you're looking for nothing. Even when you have everything that you have everything that you need, God has exceeded beyond your prayers, exceeded past the blessings that you wanted for yourself. So what does that look like? When you have everything, are you still going to go to God and give him thanks, give him honor, give him glory? Why? Because even on yesterday at Bible study, we was talking about this, and I said, why? Because when you get your blessings, you have to we act like we don't need God. After we got everything we need, we still need God, not just for life, not just for to breathe and just to live, but the fact that we need God to not idolize what he has given us. When he's given us that job, we need God to have the strength to not idolize that job, to not idolize that house, to not idolize that car. We still need God. But if we're just going to God for his blessings and for his answers, then we don't love him for who he is. And now we have idolized his promises. Sometimes we can idolize his promises before his promises even get there. We'll pray and we'll pray more. about God, give me this, give me that. You said I was going to get it. Why haven't I got it yet? And that sometimes that causes being impatient. We find ourselves being impatient because we simply idolize what we're praying for. So now that reveals where our heart is. That reveals that our heart and our treasure is in that promise. Now we're bugging God and we're saying, God, I'm angry. I'm anxious. I don't see it. I don't feel it. But we're supposed to be hopeful and confident in the things that we don't see anyway. We're supposed to have strength and joy in knowing it's going to take place. So don't idolize the promise. Don't idolize what God has in store for you. Idolize God and God himself. Why? Because God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want anything before him, anything before his presence. So seeking him means that your life will also follow with his righteousness. Why? Because in the scripture it says, and his righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom. When you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, your life will change. Your life will change. People think that that scripture means that, oh, if you just seek him, you'll get everything. If you just pray to God, you'll get everything you want. Just pray to God. Go to him, whatever it is. Like he's just this fulfiller of every need and every desire. Yes, he is. Don't get me wrong. He is. But if that's all you're going to him for and your life is not even changing, it says, but seek him first. So that doesn't just mean seek him for your blessings. That means seek him for your deliverance. Seek him for your salvation. Seek him for everlasting joy. Seek him for everlasting peace. Seek him for that. And everything else will be added. The blessings will then come. When you find out who your deliverer is, your blessings will come after that because you know where your blessings come from at that point. You can't get your healing from man. You can't get your healing from just the doctor. No, you have to understand that your healing comes from God. Your deliverance comes from God. And so when you understand this scripture, you will know that your life should be changing drastically. And it can be changing day by day, y'all. But as long as you're seeking his righteousness and not just the hand and the blessings of the Lord, seek his righteousness. You can't seek God's promises and you're not even in the posture to receive his promise because your soul is jacked up, messed up, wretched up, everything else. That doesn't work like that. You can't be part world and part God. I seen a quote, I think I've said this before, but you can't be God's example and the devil's sample. The two don't mix. You can't be willing for the devil to use you in any matter, but yet you want to be God's example. No, because why? You have to learn that seeking God and seeking his kingdom, he's going to give you the righteousness path. He's going to give you the righteous path, the way to live right, the way to talk right. So we cannot be fulfilled by just the promises and the blessings, but we have to be fulfilled by what God has to offer on both sides, the good and the bad, what hurts and what feels good. Because God wants to save our soul. He wants to make us whole. He wants to make us fulfilled in him and not fulfilled in the things of this world and what we ask for. Amen. So chase God, not because you want something, but because he wants you. Chase God. I'm going to say it again. Chase God, not because you want something. Pray to God, not because you want something. Go to God, not because you want something. But because God wants you, but because God has to see something that has to take place from you. God needs your all. Praise him with your all. Worship him with your all. Love him with your all. Give him your all. He wants you. He doesn't want just what you want from him. How does that doesn't even make sense, y'all? We go to God because we want things out of him, but don't go to him because you want something. Go to him because God wants something out of you. When you shift your perspective and you say, God, I'm gonna pray to you tonight because I know you desire that from me. Not, God, I'm gonna pray to you tonight because I know I desire something from you. Shift your perspective. Shift your heart posture. And when God sees, I promise, when God sees that your heart posture has changed, he will not fail you. First of all, he will not fail you either way because he is a God that is faithful and is loving. And he loves us even when we didn't love ourselves, when we didn't love him, when we didn't even know him. So he's going to be faithful for God regardless. But change your heart posture just because. Just because it's going to give God the glory. When you can go to God and say, God, even if my prayers are not answered, I'm gonna love you because you've done just enough. You've brought me this far to have another chance and another chance and another chance day after day after day after day. So I will not worship what you can do for me, but I will worship who you are and all that you have already done for me. We got to love God and know God simply based off what he's already done for us. Chase for purpose to be fulfilled, then he will supply the needs. A lot of times we don't even realize we need to chase the fact that there's purpose in us. There's purpose in us. God placed us on this earth not to just live our best life, but so that purpose may be fulfilled, so that what he placed you on this earth for will be fulfilled. What he gave you those blessings for will be fulfilled, y'all. I was recently blessed, and I'm not going to tell all my business, but I was recently blessed with like a certain amount of finances. And I understand that this happened out of nowhere. This happened out of nowhere. And I'm telling my testimony not to brag, but to tell you that even in that, y'all, I'm going to take that. I'm going to use that for the advancement of God's kingdom. I'm not finna go splurge this money just because I got it. No, that's not how that works. But what I am about to do is I'm about to go invest in God's kingdom. So I have a vision. I'm not going to speak on that vision. I have a vision, but I'm not going to speak on it. But I do want y'all to know that when God blesses you, it's not to fulfill what you want. It's not for that. It's to advance his kingdom, to help his people, to give to the needy, to give to the poor, to use that to glorify God and to help his people to glorify God. But if all you're doing that is to fulfill yourself, then maybe you need to do a heart posture and check your heart and say, well, do I idolize the blessing? Do I idolize the money? Do I idolize the car? Am I even giving the needy a ride? Do I idolize, you know, what God has given me? And really check it. So my question also would be, would you love God if he didn't give you what you wanted? If he didn't answer your prayer, if he didn't give you what you wanted, would you still love him? And I mean, really ask yourself. And this is not to say that he won't give it to you. This is not that. But what I am saying is, if God didn't fulfill you with what you wanted, because we know he's going to give us better anyway. We already know that. But if God doesn't give you that, what you wanted, do you still love him? Would you still love him? Or would you still just be angry? Would you still be upset? So in that, can you be fulfilled in knowing that what you want, you have not got it? And what you want, you may not get it. And it's not to say that you won't get it, but even just positioning yourself in that circumstance to say, well, this is how I check my heart. If it didn't happen, how would I feel? My God. If it didn't happen, how would you feel? Where would your heart be? What would your heart be in? Amen. So we're going to move on from that because we have plenty more to talk about. So we're going to get into the examples of idols. And I'm going to start with Exodus 32, 1 through 4. It says, the people saw that a long time had passed and Moses had not come down from the mountain. So they gathered around Aaron and said, Moses, let us out of Egypt, but we don't know what has happened to him. Make us gods who will lead us. Aaron said to the people, take off the gold earrings that your wives, sons, and daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took their gold earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from the people and formed it with a tool and made a statue of a calf. Then the people said, Israel, these are your gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Y'all, we find this story. We've many Christians, and for those who don't know, basically this is the story about when Moses was leading. I'm going to break it down for those who really just don't have no idea what I'm talking about. Moses is a leader in the people of God. He's leading the Israelites, out of destruction, or trying to at least, and out of their land. And as they're on this journey, and as Moses is leading them, he goes up many times to go speak to God on the mountain. And while he's on the mountain, The people are like, you know, Moses has led us out of the land, but, you know, basically they're not fulfilled. They're not fulfilled. They want more. They're wondering why they're going through all what they're going through. And so they're telling Aaron, which was also another leader, but as you can see, he was not where he needed to be. He was not, his heart posture was not in the right place. So they go to Aaron and they're like, we need you to help us to make us a god. And this is why I get so offended too when people are on social media and they're posting about God or they're talking about God and they use lowercase g's. But I want to let y'all know, because it's better to inform you than for you to know be ignorant in these type of things. But when you use a lowercase g, it is so disrespectful, because lowercase g's in the Bible are talking about things like this calf, this golden calf that they made out of jewelry and out of gold. So do not use a lowercase g when you're talking about God. Make sure you always, 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 always use a capital G, because there's one God that we serve. One God. But if you serving all these little smaller gods, that is the lowercase g. But anyway, nevertheless, they decided to make a little lowercase g, a little lowercase God out of this gold jewelry. And they made a calf out of it. It was the statue of a calf. And we may find it funny. We may giggle about it like, that's never us. Oh, we don't do that. But the thing about it is, our modern idols are not metal, but rather mental. So now we can be compared to those people, because we see God is not moving as quick as we want him to. And now in our mental state, we're going to people, or we're going to things, or we're going to money before we go to God. Why? Because it's quick. It's a quick fix. So yeah, we look at them and we're like, oh, that's silly. They worshiped a literal God, a literal statue. But yet we worship the things around us on a daily basis that we don't even realize. We worship our phones because our phone is in front of us, and we spend more time on our phones rather than we do in the word or in the presence of God. So we cannot look at them and say, oh, they were so bad. Why would they do that? They were so stupid. They were so dumb. How could they? No, because at the same matter, we tend to do the same thing. We tend to do the same thing, but just different in a mental statement or in a mental capacity, or in a matter of we can't even realize it. They didn't realize what they were doing was not glorifying God. But we do that as well. We may not realize it. That's why when we pray, we shouldn't just be praying for all these fancies and things. We need to pray for God to reveal whatever is in the way of us seeking his presence, whatever is in the way and whatever we are idolizing. We need God to make that be known. Let that be known. But when he shows us, we can't deny it. We can't say, oh, that's not us. Oh, that's not me. I don't worship that. Or how come I feel like, you know, I feel like this is okay to do, or I feel like I can be okay with God's blessings. And you can be okay with God's blessings, but you don't need to be in a posture that the blessings have overcame you. I hope y'all understand where I'm trying to go with this. You have became that blessing, not in a good way, but in a bad way. Like you walked and talked and lived for that blessing, and still do for that blessing. So we don't want to ever be in a position that we're allowing God to bless us, but just to manipulate it and just to turn our backs on God in that blessing. So we're going to break down examples of idols, because I know many people maybe question and wondering, well, what all could be an idol? So we're going to get into it. And I pray that you guys take this with open ears and open hearts and open minds, because I want you to really take the time. This podcast, this episode specifically is to really talk and really get into idols and what can be put before God. So if you got to take notes, do that, but really question. And I have to question myself, but I want you all to question yourself as well and say, what is in the way? Like, what is in the way? What am I idolizing, God? What am I worshiping more than you? So let's start with food. So a lot of times we eat three times a day, y'all, and we may do eating more than we worship God. Let's talk about it. Some people eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some people snack more. And it's not to say that we can't eat. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, Make sure that you are not going to food for anything, for everything. For everything? For everything? No, no, absolutely not. Like, we can't be in a place that when we're sad, we're eating. I know, me personally, when I was sad, I was going to get me a snack, take my mind off of it. You know, we look at other people with these habits and these addictions, but we have little addictions like that. And it's not even little, it's actually big in the eyesight of God. But eating, I used to eat when I was sad, when I was mad. One thing about it, I was definitely going to eat when I was bored. When I was bored, it was like I was eating. And don't get me wrong, I can tell the truth and shame the devil. Sometimes I still catch myself eating, like, when I get bored, but I do it unawarely, like do it unknowingly. And so we can't do that. We can't do that, y'all. We can't just eat just because, or eat because our mind is on it, or eat because it's in front of us. But we have to make sure that we're going to God for everything. God, we need to hear your voice. God, we need to feel you. But you cannot feel God if you're full of gluttony. You're full of food. Every time you try to read your word, you're so sleepy because you done ate too much. You was eating to be full. You didn't ate dinner. And sometimes I had to think about it. I need to read my word before I eat, because if not, I know. Me personally, I know when I get done eating, I'm sleepy. I don't want to do nothing. Why? Because I've ate to get full. So if you got to do the same thing, God help me to read your word first. Then I can celebrate, eat. Still don't eat too much, but I'm going to eat because I know I don't. And sometimes the word will make you to the point where you don't want to eat. Sometimes I find myself not even, you know, trying to fast, but I won't even be hungry because the word will literally fill you. Like, before I get on this podcast, my mind is so focused on, you know, trying to present the word and getting really in the Holy Spirit that I don't even focus. When you're in the Holy Spirit and your mind is on God, sometimes you're really genuinely not even hungry. Like, you're not hungry. But some people go to church and this is how you know you worship food. You idolize food. You go to church and your mind is on food. You're worried about what time y'all gonna get out because you're hungry, your stomach growling, and everything else. But it's like, focus your mind. Let your mind be on Christ. Don't let food be idolized so much to the point where now you're in the house of the Lord. You're in the presence of God and you still worried about what you're going to eat. No. So yes, at that point, you may be idolizing food and you need to check your heart posture and say, well, do I really idolize food? Next, church. Uh-oh, y'all. I know I'm going to step on a few toes, but I had to step on my own toes. So now I'm just going to tell you what God has told me. Church, a lot of us, we have practiced Christianity and we have practiced going to church. But even in going to church, you can idolize going to church. Let's make it plain. Because if you go to church every Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever, Saturdays, wherever, however, whenever you go to church and your lifestyle is not changing, yes, that can be an idol, because that means you are going for the fulfillment of church. You're going to just be in the presence of the church, not in the presence of God, because some people church are not even saved and delivered like they should be. This is why you have the sinner man looking at the churches, because the churches are not being the example that they need to be. So now you have people not showing up the actual thing of what Christianity is supposed to look like. Or resemble. Why? To be Christian means to be Christ-like. And if you're not being Christ-like, then you are performing out of vain. You are performing. That's what you're doing. You're performing Christianity. You're not, you know, it's just an act. Because when you go to church, you should be hearing something that your lifestyle changes. If nothing is changing, something is wrong. You are idolizing going to listen to the music. You are idolizing for somebody to pray for you, to get a good feel good so you feel better. You are idolizing, you know, wearing the best clothes so you can post it on TikTok, you know, post it to get ready with me, going to church so you can say you went to church. You can post a picture of you in the church. All these different things, right? To see your little boo, to see your friends. Like, we go to church to have our best outfit, to compete and compare. We go to church for all these different things. Sometimes just to even say we went to church. But if nothing is changing, y'all, we are idolizing the lifestyle of church. Many people, they go for a good shout, a good buck, a good, you know, bouncing and trouncing, whatever else you want to call it, but nothing changed. The heart posture didn't change. We cannot go to church And then right after we got out of church, we're picking up a drink. We're picking up a little blunt. And don't get me wrong, for the people that are really struggling, let God continue to, you know, let God continue to help you. That's not, we not, this is not a podcast of to judge, to be judgmental, none of that. But what I am saying is, make sure you are at least trying. Press towards the mark. Press towards the finish line. Press towards God. Let the word change something in you. Do not just go to church to say, I did my daily duty for the day. No, because God is more than that. God wants this to be a lifestyle, not just a seasonal thing. Not just you go to church on Easter because, you know, God has risen from the dead. Jesus has no, absolutely not. Not just on Christmas because they say Jesus was born. No, absolutely not. Not just because, you know, you were forced to go for a funeral. No, no. But we want to press in God's presence regardless, regardless. You should be able to worship God inside or out the church, period. Your lifestyle in the church should be the same way out of church, not how you're living outside of church is what you're doing all the time. No, because what you're doing on the inside of church, you should be changing. Something should be shifting. God should be shifting. When you hear the word, if it's truly the word, everything is not about a nook in a book. Everything is not about a good shout. If you went and you had a good shout and didn't hear the word and you don't know nothing that was said, you can't even quote one scripture that the pastor came from, there's a problem. Were you even listening? Can you even tell the topic what they were even talking about? But many times we don't, because we're so full. And y'all, it's so sad when it's time for the preacher to get up. We're so tired from nucking and bucking. Okay, we nucking and bucking. We was so tired from shouting that we sleepy. We sleepy when it's time to hear the word. Or we yawning. We yawning when it's time to hear the word. And it's so sad because it's like we didn't come for all that anyway. You know, Jesus didn't put on a show when he was going to speak the gospel. He didn't put on no show. He didn't have no live band with him. He could do it all by himself, whether he had a choir or not. But yet we go to church for the wrong reasons. It's not about that. Let it change something in you. Let it change something in you. And let me say this too. Don't just go to get a good feel good or feel like. Now, the Bible does say go to the elders of the church whenever you're sick or you're in need. But don't use that like as a footstep, like, you know, or as a crutch. Because many times we use that and we don't use God. Let's make sure we're going to God even in that, and not just out of the, because we can idolize and worship pastors and preachers and idolize, you know, the people that lay hands. No, because gifts come without repentance anyway. You don't even know how that person is living. You need to make sure you're going to the God that's within them, the God that is helping them do what they're doing. Amen. Going on to the next thing, worship. I seen something. Yes, yes, yes. I'm answering the question for whoever just, I can feel it in my spirit. Whoever just said worship. Yes, worship can be an idol. This is why I seen something too that confirmed that early in this week, that sometimes people get their deliverance, quote unquote, from worship. Just worshiping. How? You have to know who your deliverer is. Your deliverer cannot be music. It can't. Because even saying he was the best of the best in music. That was his thing. He could do that. He loved, you know, that's why you see the world the way it is with music. Satan is behind it all. So you cannot just be going to worship and saying, well, I got what I needed. No, because is worship going to deliver you? Is praise going to, you can, like I said, you can nuck and buck and shout. And yes, we can actually do that. But the presence of God has to be in it. The presence of God has to be in our shout. If not, we just bucking and nucking and everything else and ain't nothing changed. But when you worship, the Bible says we have to worship in spirit and in truth. So if we're not worshiping in spirit, God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit. But if we just worshiping and we don't even feel God, and we can say we feel God, but like I said, when you're in the presence of God, when you come out of the presence of God, something ought to have changed. You ought to got your breakthrough in that. But if you didn't get your breakthrough, you going back to the things that, you know, you used to do, or back to the attitude. The second you get out of church, you got a bad attitude, or something has shifted you out of the presence. Were you even in the presence? You just got out of Bible study. Were you even in the presence of God in that Bible study? Did you even take the time to sit and seek and search God's presence for real, for real? And y'all, we can worship and idolize music so much that every time we feel bad, we turn on music. Sometimes it's the good music. Sometimes it's the bad music. Sometimes we go through a breakup, we turn on R&B. Sometimes we turn on gospel. We wake up and we turn on worldly music. And some of us may wake up and turn on godly music. But it's to the point that, what about just waking up and giving God glory? What about just spending time out your day in the morning to just first give glory to God, not glory to music, not glory to man, not glory to your phone, not glory to any of that, but give God the glory that is due unto him, unto his name. And so sometimes we can worship, you know, artists. We idolize. Y'all, I remember, now that I think about it, it's so crazy, but I remember people saying such and such is my idol, like athletes or models or artists and songwriters and, you know, all these different people. People used to really say, people still do say, this is my idol, somebody that they look up to. And that is like so bad in so many ways, because first of all, nobody should be your idol. Nobody. Not Beyonce, not Sexy Red, not Glorilla, not even Maverick City. Nobody. I mean, nobody. Not even Tasha Cobbs. Nobody should be your idol except for God. Except for God. It is through God that those people are who they are. And some of us shouldn't even be listening to them anyway. Listen to what they, you know, do or portray, because it's what you feed. It's what you feed. Now, if it has no control over you, then, but what I am going to say is, y'all, we have to be careful we are feeding our spirit, because what we are feeding will cause us to idolize it anyway. And we have to be very careful with that. So in my notes also, I have, my handwriting is so little, and I'll be trying to read it while I'm looking, but it's so hard because it's so little. I already don't got my glasses on, and I know I need my glasses on. But anyway, okay, boom. So sometimes we idolize musicians, and I know so many people that idolize Beyonce is crazy, because y'all wouldn't even spend as much money to go see, I mean, Jesus, the way y'all spend money to go see Beyonce, or the way y'all spend money to go see any other famous person. It's like, sometimes we can idolize the famous people behind the music, and it's never that serious. Like, we got to do better. But y'all, I seen something with like Glorilla about this fast that she went on, and I'm not trying to knock it or anything like that, but what I am saying is the fact that people were following after her. I'm trying to bring light to something. The fact that people were following after her, and she asked who was going to do the Glorilla fast or whatever her fast is called. First of all, that's not really a fast. Saying you're not going to do this, not do that, and then putting your name on it is not of God. But the fact that people followed after it and said, we're going to do this, because she said, I mean, what did she say? Not having sex, not drinking, not smoking, or whatever else. Eating certain things, no liquor, something, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But the fact that y'all would really follow, God has been calling a lot of y'all or a lot of us to fast for days, maybe even years. But because Glorilla said it, you gonna do it now? Because Glorilla posted it, you gonna do it now? Because Glorilla said she not gonna drink, you decided you not gonna drink? When that may have become your idol. So because Glorilla did it, you gonna do it. No, this ain't that. This ain't that at all. We ought to fast and hear the voice of God, not the voice of Glorilla or any other artist or any other musician, but we need to hear the voice of God. Study God's word. I don't even remember not one time did Glorilla post scripture or have anything to do with scripture or anything about God. It was just simply... you know, what she felt like she needed to do, even to the point where spending money on luxurious things. And it's like, y'all, we can't be so discombobulated and really think, oh, you know, she's doing this for the glory of God. She may be, but you follow after her because of her. Why couldn't you have just seek God for yourself? We worship and idolize things that we don't realize, and it's going to be really hard for us to tell the truth and shame the devil. Some of us are really going to try to deny it, but I speak it right now. I bind it in the name of Jesus that the truth shall set you free. in the name of Jesus, because I don't know who needs to hear it, but let the truth set you free. We have to be fed spiritual milk. We don't need to be fed things of this world. Amen. We're moving on. Prayer. We can idolize prayer. I'm stepping on toes. I feel it. Y'all, why do I say we idolize prayer? We can idolize the power of prayer, but not the presence of the presenter. I'm going to repeat it. We idolize the power of prayer, but not the presence of the presenter. So, yes, we know prayer is very powerful. We know that. Prayer is powerful both in a good way and a bad way. Let me tell you why. Because people don't believe in witchcraft. Witchcraft is very real. Okay, witchcraft is very real. They also pray. That is how powerful prayer is. So yes, you can idolize the power of prayer. That is why you have witchcraft. That is how you have witchcraft. Because people pray. Now, what are they praying to? It's not our God. They praying for something, to something, completely something else. Okay? And guess what? It comes to pass. This is how you have strongholds. This is how you have things that are not of God, because prayer is just that powerful. Why? Because God gives us the power to do all things. People use that power for their glory, for what they want. Some people even idolize. Matter of fact, I'm going to pass it up because I'm going to get there. But we idolize prayer, the power of prayer, and not the presenter. Who are we going to in our prayer? What are we needing from that prayer? So yes, we know prayer is real. Yes, we know that prayer works, but we cannot idolize it. And this is why some people feel like they can't pray, because they idolize the way to speak to God in prayer. They think it's a certain way. I'm going to tell y'all now, I'm going to help you so that you may be set free, okay, from this thought, from this shame, this spirit of shame, or the spirit of condemnation that you can't pray. No, you can pray. There is a way. There is and there isn't a certain way to pray. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, this is a way that an example of you ought to pray. And it gives us, you know, the Lord's Prayer and whatnot, you know. But also the fact that God just wants you to be honest, basically, in your prayer. He wants you to repent, first of all, first and foremost, you know, but just acknowledge him. Be honest. But so many people try to put so many fancy words, or we see this is the way that people pray. You may be comparing it to my prayer, or the way your pastor prays, or the way other people pray. But you're not supposed to be doing that. Because why? Sometimes we can say so many things. We idolize prayer, that we can say so many things and don't even believe what we're saying. We're praying for these things and don't believe it. You're praying for that marriage to be healed and don't even believe that God can actually do it. You're praying for your body to be healed and don't believe that in due time your body will be healed. Nothing is impossible for God. God can do all things, but because you've put a certain way to pray, or you think in your mind that you have to say these certain words because you've watched other people do it. Y'all, some people put on a show when they pray. The Bible says not to do that anyway, not to pray like the hypocrites, but many people do that, and many people are confusing those that really don't know how to pray, because they're making them feel like, oh, I need to say it like this, or I need to say to the speed of this way, or I need to do it this way, or look this way when I do it, or walk this way when I do it, talk this way. No, and God is saying, there's scripture, y'all, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So if you're trying to please God in the way you pray, and you definitely trying to please man in the way you pray, it's not gonna happen. Why? Because without faith it is impossible to please God. So if you're just saying a whole bunch of nonsense in your prayer, and you never believed in your prayer, the power of prayer, the power in what you're saying, what you're asking for, if you don't believe that God can heal that relationship, then it's like, is it going in vain? Because you don't even believe what's coming out of your own mouth. And yes, this is how we idolize prayer. We know it. We know that prayer is powerful, yet we don't believe in even in our own prayer. We believe in other people's prayer. We idolize other people's prayer, but we don't even go to God for ourselves. For ourselves. We have to go to God, y'all, knowing that God is in expectation that God is going to do it. Whatever it is that we're going to him for, he's going to do it. Don't just go to him having a list of things that you need for God to do. And I even have it on here. We idolize prayer like Santa, fulfilling a Christmas list. God is not Santa, okay? We have a Christmas list, and we go to God as if he was Santa, and we say, God, I need you to fulfill this, 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 that, and a third. And then we get upset when something is not marked off that Christmas list. And God is like, get rid of that. Get rid of that. That is not what prayer is about. May the Holy Spirit lead you into, may the Holy Spirit lead you into what you should be saying, into what you should be praying for. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you have nothing else to say, cry, shout, scream, yell, whatever it is. If you're hurt, let hurt speak. But don't try to fancy it up because you know or you feel like this is the way it's supposed to sound. No, God just wants to see your true self. It's men that can't even feel like they can pray because they won't humble. They won't be humble. Let God humble you. Do not let pride stand in the way of having a true prayer life with God and just saying, God, I don't know what to say. I'm going to lose my mind. I need your help. God, I'm in so much pain. My body hurts. God, I don't understand why my finances are the way that they do. But nevertheless, I will trust you, God. Why? Because I don't idolize my finances. I don't idolize the outcome. I don't idolize the house. I don't idolize any of it. So if you got to take all of it for that to be revealed, God, do it, because I love you. I worship you and you only, Father. We cannot idolize prayer, y'all. We cannot idolize prayer. We cannot idolize worship. We cannot idolize church. We cannot idolize food. We need to idolize God. Idolize God and what God has for you, what God wants for you. How can you pray a mouthful of things and don't believe it? Anything that you said, anything, but without faith, it is impossible, y'all. It is impossible to please God. Reading the word. What are you reading the word for? Are you idolizing reading the word so that you can post your daily scripture for the day? So you can show men that you do it? So you can show the world that you read your scripture, that you read your daily devotion for the day? So you can go and tell somebody? Are we bragging and boasting because you did your daily fulfillment? No, because then we'll be looking at it as a checklist. Like, oh, I just need to read my word to say I read my word. No, read your word because you want to read your word. Let God shift your heart posture about reading your word. Do not idolize reading your word to the point where you only read your word when you need a sermon. You only read your word when it's time to speak at Bible study. You only read your word when it's time to tell the good news of the gospel. You don't read your word just to be healed for yourself. You don't read your word just to get your own deliverance and salvation, but read your word because you know that you need it. Don't read your word. Y'all, I see this so many times. People that don't post no scriptures, nothing about God. It's like, and I don't know this. Only the Holy Spirit can speak, but it's like when people are mad, when people are angry, when they're going through, when they're going through with people or they're arguing with people, you see people, this is when you see people post scripture about, oh, God will humble your enemies and God will set you upon your footstool or whatever the case may be. They post all these crazy scriptures and it's like, oh now. So you using the Bible as your weapon, but little do you know, you don't even use your Bible as your weapon. Because you should be able to use that as a daily weapon and not just as a tactic when you're going through something, to show off that you're going through it. This ain't that. Don't just post it because you want to post it to be seen. Post it because you living at it. You living by it. And so when you can worship and idolize reading the word, that is where that come in. You're reading the word. You're going to church, but nothing is changing. As many scriptures as you done posted, you ain't living by none of that word. None of them scriptures. Whatever you got in your bio, take it down. Take it down if you're not going to be there. If you're not going to walk there. If you're not going to talk there, take it down. We got to learn to stop claiming things that we're not. Because we're being hypocrites. We're false claiming. That scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Do you believe that? You got it in your bio, but do you believe that? What does that mean? That doesn't just mean do good things. That means I can endure the pain and suffering when it comes. I can do all things. I can, you know, if it come down to it, I, for God I live, for God I will die. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can go through this breakup because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can lose my job because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can endure through death. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That doesn't just mean, oh, I can start this business. Oh, I can get the relationship I want. I can do all things, or I can do this and do that and get the car and get the house and get the land and whatever you think that scripture means. Yes, but also no, because how dare you use that scripture for only the good? It's also for the bad. But you got it in your bio and you don't even understand. You don't even understand the full capacity that it holds. Why? Because you idolize reading your word and not fulfilling, having the fulfillment of God's word. Those are God's words. That is God trying to speak something into you. But because you're using it as your weapon, quote unquote, but you're not being allowing it to be used as your weapon. I mean, the word is like a double-edged sword, so it should be cutting on both sides. The way you give it out is the way you should be receiving it. It should be cutting both sides. Both sides. It should be changing something in you. You should be able to understand it the way you giving it out. But if you don't, then take that scripture out that bio. Take that scripture. Don't post it. Don't post it, because you can't understand that God will just, you know, place you above your enemies if you still treat your enemies bad. Because why? That's also scripture. That's also scripture. But because you idolize the word, you quoting one scripture that you want to use for that day to make the enemy mad. But really, you're just making yourself mad. You're just making it worse. You're trying to be seen by men. Don't do that. Don't idolize that. Don't use God's word for your glory. Use God's word for his glory and use all of his word. Understand that the way you treat your enemies, you need to treat them with love and kindness. Not be going back and forth on the internet. We don't do that. Us Christians, we don't do that. Christ-like. Why? Because Jesus wasn't going back and forth. He walked away from that. So we too need to walk away from that. Idolizing purpose in success of the world and not God's purpose for us. This is why we're confused in what our purpose is. And let's back it up with scripture. Let's go to Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. The person will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other. You cannot serve both God and worldly riches. You just can't. So many of us are like, well, I don't understand. I don't know what my purpose is. That's because you're too busy trying to fulfill your purpose in the world. You're being what God didn't want you to be. Maybe it's just because you wanted what you wanted for yourself and not what God wanted for you. I am a witness to that, y'all. Out of being 21 years old, all my life, I was always prophesied to. This is basically a testimony. I was always prophesied to. Oh, you're going to be this. People would prophesy to my mom about me. Even as, like, I'm talking about when I was 5, 7 years old. Prophesied to me saying I'm going to be, you know, great in many nations. And I'm going to preach. I'll be a preacher. I'll be a minister. Da, da, da. And my mom would look at them like, I don't see. Like, do y'all know this girl? And I would look at them not even knowing. I'd be like, oh, okay, that's nice. Like, oh, I'm going to be great. But then I was saying, you know, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a court reporter. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be everything in political science. Maybe even want to be a dentist, a doctor. Why? Because the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So if you want to do that, you can do that. Anything you want to do, anything you put your mind to, you can do it. That's what that scripture means, right? But that doesn't mean be foolish in doing it all. Okay? Why? Because you will confuse yourself. You will put more on yourself than you can bear. So now, me being 21 years old, y'all, I am 21 and it just dawned on me what my purpose is. Imagine. So I'm not saying that to say, oh, it's too late. No, it's never too late, y'all. Whatever that purpose is, find it. Go to God. So what my purpose is doing this right here. This is my purpose. And to go out and to see about God's sick people, to see about the homeless, that is my purpose. I don't know about your purpose, but that's my purpose. Okay, I'm giving a testimony because I want y'all to understand we cannot idolize the purpose of what our parents think our purpose is, what our friends and family think our purpose is. No, know your purpose in Christ and everything else will be added. Know your purpose in Christ and everything else will be added. Y'all, it is not cute to brag and boast about materialistic things of this world, because when you have that success, and when you idolize the success of the world, you will begin to do this. You will begin to boast and brag about how many followers and how many likes and how much you have gained success over time. And that is not important. You got people, it was once a trend where people were saying, I'm a material girl. Material girl. That ain't cute. That is not cute. You are do you know what you're claiming? Okay, you got people saying they're the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Do you know what you're claiming? You're idolizing yourself now? What? You're idolizing athletes, calling them the GOAT? Do you know what you're claiming? Material girl. So you're not full of the spirit. You're not full of God. You're full of materialistic things. That's what you want to claim. Material girl, material boy. Every time you post, all people see is what you got. Dior, Chanel. I want Chanel. When people see you, they see Michael Kors. When people see you, they see Louis Vuitton. When people see you, they see Polo. When people see what, I mean, it's okay. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to be blessed, but do not make your blessings make you. You make the blessing. Be as humble as a servant, and still be blessed. But don't be claiming that stuff, y'all. Don't be claiming that. Don't claim that. That's not okay, because God did not bless you for you to post that, for you to just, that's all you post, that's all you talk about, that's all you, you know, want to be. No, God wants you to be bigger than everything that he has given you, because at that point, he don't want you to be a slave to what you have. He don't want your car to own you, have control of you, to when you lose the car, you feel broken. Like when you lose the car, you feel like you lost a part of yourself. No. That car should not have that much control over you. That relationship or that marriage should not have that much control over you, because you should have God first. If God took everything from you because he's God, he can do that. You should still have God. So at that point, you should still have everything. It should not have control over you. Ask yourself, if God took what you have away from you, how would you feel? Would you be mad? Would you be angry at God? Would you feel like you have nothing or no one? Y'all, the story of Job suffered, and he suffered well. I mean, he suffered well. God took everything from him. Everything from him. People questioned if God was even real at that point. People questioned, what did Job do to make God angry? Job didn't do nothing. Job was blameless. So my question for you today is, if God took everything from you, would you be blameless? First of all. Second of all, would you blame God? Would you be like Job, or would you just say, you know, God, you have neglected me. You don't care about me. You took everything I have. I loved my wife. I loved my children. I loved my husband. I loved my car. I loved my house. I loved all my cattle and my sheep and my garden. I loved all of this. I loved my job. Why would you take that away from me? But yet, did you idolize it? What did you idolize it? Job didn't even idolize it. Now, Job just had a different type of strength, a different type of faith. But sometimes God will take stuff from us because we idolized it. We idolized it. And he's trying to save our soul from going to hell. Because we didn't, he's trying to save us from idolizing it so much that we couldn't even see that we were on our way to that destination. No, God doesn't want that for us. So, do we spend more time on social media? Do we spend more time calculating how many people have viewed our story? Do we spend more time calculating how many people have liked our stuff? We comparing and contrasting posts. We trying to see the girls, you know, how many likes they got. Now I'm to the point where I'm finna turn my likes off. Y'all ain't gonna see none of that. We not comparing. We not contrasting. We not doing any of that. Do you compare your success to others? Do you idolize that comparison? Do you spend more money on your car? Uh-oh, let's clock it. You got all these decorations in your car, all these fulfillments in your car. all these car seats. I mean, we got it all. Wheel covers, lights, I mean, designer. But yeah, we don't even pay our tithes. If we pay our tithes, we don't even advance in the kingdom. We spend more time looking on Amazon, scrolling, trying to see what's the next best thing we gonna buy. We trying to see what's the next relationship we gonna get into. And yeah, guys, like, can you just give me your time? Can you just enjoy your single season for a moment? Enjoy worshiping me? Don't idolize being in love. My God, I don't know who that was for. But don't idolize being in love. Because first of all, to love, to know what love is and where it came from is to know and love God. So first you have to know and understand and master that. Because if not, then you have not understood what love is. Love is what love does, and that's through God. That is through God. God is love. So when we learn to love the right way, then we will know that, you know, God will bless us with the love that he wants us to have. But if we're too busy hopping from relationship to relationship, and I mean to side piece to side piece, and I mean to sugar daddy to sugar mama, and I mean to, you know, sneaky link to sneaky link, and your little boo thing or whatever you want to call it, y'all, let's live with purpose. Be purposeful. Be intentional in everything. Don't just do that stuff just to do it. Don't do that. And we call ourselves lover girls and lover boys. We don't even know what love is. We just idolize love. The wrong love. Let's make that clear. The wrong love. But until you know God's love, we ain't walked in love for real yet. We haven't. Because love is forgiveness. And a lot of y'all ain't even forgive anyway. So yeah, we need to learn what love is. I feel this thing down in my stomach. So, y'all. Crystals and zodiacs. Uh-oh. Some of us, we idolize crystals and zodiacs. Every time somebody asks us, what are you? I'm a Libra. I don't even know the signs, y'all. I'm a Scorpio. I'm a Cancer. Whatever them signs is. No, y'all. That's scripture. We are not supposed to be idolizing it. We are not supposed to even be believing in it. We opening fortune teller cookies. We going to people. We believe. Y'all, don't even go to those people that ask if you want to read. And don't do that. That is not of God. That is witchcraft. You are supposed to be going to God. See, the people in the Bible, when they did that, they got humble really quick. God was very angry. Do not do that. That is one way to make God angry. Because you should be going to him for the answer. To nothing else. And yes, it may sound right. It may sound correct. It may sound like they're, you know, tickling your feathers. Whatever you want to call it. But that is not of God. Your answer should not be, I'm a Libra. That's what you're claiming? Because the things that are attached to a Libra, the things that are attached to a Cancer, the things that are attached to Aquarius, you want to be attached to that? You're attaching yourself to characteristics that you share with other people? You're attaching yourself to other demons and the demonic strongholds? That's what you want to be attached to all because of a month? That is what you believe in? God wants to set you free, whoever this is for. God wants to set you free from that, from idolizing the mentality that those things are real. I bind them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke them. I send them back to the sender in the mighty name of Jesus. Because that is not of God. And so I got a scripture for that. Deuteronomy 4, 16 through 19 says, don't sin by making idols of any kind, and don't make statues of men or women, of animals on earth or birds that fly in the air or anything that crawls on the ground or fish in the water below. When you look up at the sky, you see the sun, moon, and stars and everything in the sky. But don't bow down and worship them, because the Lord your God has made these things for all people everywhere. Do not bow down and worship them. Do not pick up your crystal and pray to your crystal. Don't do that. That is not of God. That is not of God. How dare you put more power into that crystal than you do your God? That is so disrespectful, y'all. So disrespectful. So let's not aim for that. Let's not shoot for that. Let's not do that, okay? So next I have Colossians. We're going to try to speed this thing on up, y'all. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Let me get to it. It says, so put all evil things out of your life, sexual sinning, doing evil, letting evil thoughts control you, wanting things that are evil, and greed. This is really serving a false god. These things, I'm going to continue past 5. These things made God angry. In your past evil life, you also did these things. But now, also put these things out of your life. Anger, bad temper, doing or saying things to hurt others, and using evil words when you talk. Do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful life and the things you did before. You have begun to live the new life in which you are being made new and are becoming like the one who made you. This new life brings you the true knowledge of God. What does that mean? Back again. Something should be changing. You did all those things. You may still be doing those things, but let something change. Do not be greedy. Have a new life. Do not be greedy for what the world is greedy for. You can't go around saying, I'm just different. I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. But in reality, you're like everybody else. Be different. If you're going to be different, be different. Don't want what the world wants. Don't do what the world does. Sometimes it don't feel good. Sometimes it don't look good. But until then, you have to walk and talk like you're going to be different if you're going to be different. But the world is greedy for money. Are you greedy for money? The world is greedy for relationships. Are you greedy for relationships? The world is greedy for sex. Are you greedy for sex? The world is greedy for drinking and smoking. Are you greedy for drinking and smoking? The world is greedy for eating. Are you greedy for eating? What are we greedy for? God is saying those are false gods. Those are little G-O-Ds. Don't worship them. Don't bow down to them. Don't be enslaved by them. Be free. Jesus came that we may be free from sin. Free from sin, not to keep doing it, but to be free from it, that it may no longer hold us hostage. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. That was a whole different sermon, y'all. I could have right then and there, Colossians, excuse me, that scripture right there, we could have took that up, but that's a whole different sermon, y'all. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. With the small G-O-D, y'all. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? How can you turn back to the things of the world? You can't be calling yourself new and you still worship the things of this world. No, the two don't mix. It says elementary principles of the world, y'all. Just because the world say you're going to be lame if you don't do it, it doesn't mean a thing. I guess I'll be lame. I guess I'll be slow. I guess I'll be a party pooper. Whatever you want to call it, because I will not stoop myself down to the level of the elementary principles of this world. We're just not going to do that. That should be your answer for everything and everyone. We're not doing that, because why? If you cannot stop it, it may be an idol. You have to check yourself before you wreck yourself. If it has so much stronghold over you that you cannot stop it, it's an idol. Why? Because it says in your past life, you still did it, but in your new life, it shouldn't have no control over you. Jesus came to set you free. So if you idolize it so much, then yes, that's what that looks like. You're going to continue to do it because you want to. You idolize that feeling that you get from doing it. You idolize that void. You idolize it. Let God fill in the voids. If something is not changing, then you idolize it. Yes, yes, yes. I speak it now in the name of Jesus that you will not idolize it anymore. I speak to whoever is listening on the other side of this screen. May every stronghold that wants to keep you hostage, that is bounding, keeping your mind bound, devil, release your hands off of their mind, that they may receive it in the powerful, most mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that souls shall be saved through this word. I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. But we're not to go backwards, y'all. We're not to go backwards. Psalms 115, 4 through 8. We're almost done, y'all. We're almost done. Their idols are made of silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. No sounds come from their throats. People who make idols will be like them, and so will those who trust them. My God, the power behind that scripture is crazy, y'all. Crazy work, for real. It said the idols that you make, you are like them. So no wonder why we don't see our sin. No wonder why we can't see what we're idolizing, because we have no ears to hear. We have ears and not even hearing. We have eyes and not even seeing. So yes, no wonder why we idolize that job, because you have became like your job. Oh my God, let me make it plain for you. No wonder why we idolize sexual pleasure, because you have become sexual pleasure. Oh my goodness. Oh, Bashe, y'all, I feel this in my spirit. God, help your people on today. No wonder why. No wonder why we idolize our phones, because you have became like your phone. Your phone. Your phone. My God, your phone. Your phone does not change, so neither will you, because you have become like your phone. You have became your sin. My God. But I speak to your situation. I speak to whatever you're idolizing, that you may change in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not be like this scripture. You will not allow your idols to, you will not allow you to become like your idols. No. And I will not allow the devil to allow you to become the idol, allowing people to trust the idol in you. No wonder why you can't see. You're a manipulator. You're a liar. You may be a thief, but you're believing it because you have became that idol. You have became the idol of lying to people, manipulating people. So now you can't see that you need to change. Because why? These things don't have mouths to speak and eyes to see. So neither do you. My God. That's what the scripture is saying. Neither do you. So we need the Lord's help to deliver us. We need the Lord's help to deliver us, to save us, to keep us in the midst of these things. Romans 1. We're coming to a close, y'all. Romans 1. The second I can get to it. Romans 1 and 25. They traded the truth of God for a lie. They worship and serve what had been created instead of the God who created those things, who should be praised forever. Amen. So, this is explaining that last scripture as well. They worship and serve what had been created instead of the God who created those things. This is for all those that say, well, it's okay for me to love this. May you love it. May you love God's blessing, but you allow it to create you. You allow, it said they worship and serve what had been created instead of the God who created those things. You worship the things that were created instead of loving the God who created it. And yes, you need to compare it. Well, do I love it more than I love God? And if you can't put it down, and if it's taken away from you and you're angry, yes, you love it more than you love God. Because with God, we have everything. So question, let's question ourselves. Let's sit in the presence of God, soak his presence, say, God, what am I doing that is not like you? Now we really got to speed up, because the devil, my camera about to die. So let's get to it. Deuteronomy 4 and 24. The Lord your God is a jealous God, like a fire that burns things up. This is why he's a jealous God. So moral of the story, y'all, but praise the blessing. Praise the blesser. Excuse me. Okay, let's get that corrected. Praise the blesser and not the blessing. And God has not given you what you asked for. If God has not given what you asked for, it's probably because one of the reasons that it is your golden calf. God needs you to trust him before you trust that. Trust him before you trust that job. Trust him before you trust the finances. Trust him before you trust the relationship. And if you haven't gotten it, seek the Lord and ask, God, is it because I have made it my golden calf? Is it because I have placed it in front of me for myself? Is it because I have put it before you? I've worshiped it. And let's ask for forgiveness. God, humble us. Keep us. You can still be blessed. I'm not saying that in this episode that you can't be blessed and you can't love what God has given you. But do not allow those blessings to allow you to idolize those blessings more than you idolize God. No. Matter of fact, don't idolize that at all. Love God for who he is. Love God, and love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, spirit, body, and strength. In the mighty name of Jesus. So I thank you all for listening. I pray this all blessed you. I pray the Lord keeps you. I pray that we're removing everything out the way that's not like God, that God may have his way. Because the devil is a liar. I know he is. Yeah. So, I love you all with the love of Christ. You all be blessed and highly favored. Let nothing stop you from being in the presence of God and seeking God wholeheartedly and getting rid of all the idols. Amen. I thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next Wednesday. Mm-hmm.